This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Today on AFSEA Answers, Crystal Balling, the next tactical radio. The conversation starts right now. I'm Max Kakis with AFSEA International. Welcome to AFSEA Answers. Joining us today in the studio, Brigadier General Kevin Nally, Director of the C4 and the Chief Information Officer with the U.S. Marine Corps, and Major General Dennis Moran. He's U.S. Army retired and the Vice President of Government Business Development with Harris RF Communications here in Washington, D.C. Gentlemen, thank you very much for joining us. It's an honor and a pleasure to have you here in the studio. General, we have talked before. I think this is about the second or third time we've sat on the other side of microphones from each other. I was very excited to hear that I was going to get to talk to you and to General Moran today about tactical radios, because this is a subject that is near and dear to your heart, especially since it's becoming clear that tactical radio isn't just tactical radio anymore. This is becoming a node on the network down at the edge. Tell me what your working definition of a tactical radio is.
Well, first I want to start off by saying thank you for having me on the show today. Mm-hmm. And at first I was a little bit intimidated with General Moran being on the show, since he's the supreme guru of tactical radios. But I've known him for a while, and he's a very nice gentleman, and he's been a good mentor to me. For us, for in the Marine Corps, tactical radio, it's got to be green, waterproof, hardened, and marine-proof. Mm-hmm. I say that quasi-jokingly, but it's got to be rugged. It's got to be able to be deployed all over the world, have complete coverage of spectrum, so HF, VHF, UHF, which includes TACSAT. The multi-band software-defined radios is what we're looking at in the future. The ones we're currently using in Afghanistan, from what I've heard from tactical forces and the commanders out there, has actually been a game changer for us. In the operations out there in Afghanistan.
In a good way, sir?
In a very good way, which will, we're looking at, from our point of view, of how to tie that type of radio into the JIE effort for the very near future. Mm. Also, what we're looking at is, we call it a trusted handheld device, and that's been approved by NSA for testing. It's going to be a tactical version and, if you will, a garrison-type commercial version, which will have two instances on it. One will be organizational, where you'll be able to do your work. The other will be, if you will, for personal business, where you're able to do personal business on it as well. And the secure piece will be embedded within the kernel. Wow. And as a matter of fact, Friday, 1400, we're meeting with the CEO of Samsung to go over some of the characteristics of the handheld device, which Samsung's been really helping us with it, along with Verizon, T-Mobile, AT&T, and Sprint have also been helping us with it. Wow. But that's what we're looking at to make it smaller, lighter, and just as capable, whether you're in garrison or tactical. And also, I'd like to put in a piece that what we keep in mind is, we have a energy efficiency office at the Commandant set up several years ago, and what we're looking at is, how do we make the IT devices more green, if you will, and more usable without using as much battery power, electricity, or power. Mm-hmm. And so we're also looking at ways to reduce the weight for the individual Marine.
Wow, that's the whole package then. Denny, I want to ask you and turn to you and talk to you about the current generation of tactical radios that we have here. General Nally talked a little bit about how some of the current radios are working out. But tell me a little bit about what we'd like to do with the next generation of radios. And, of course, the 800-pound gorilla in the room is JTRS. As we talked about the other day, lessons learned and all of things from that experience with that. Tell me your thoughts about that.
Well, first of all, the whole purpose of having these tactical radios is to move combat-relevant information down to the tactical edge to put it into the hand of the Marine or the soldier or the sailor or the airman. So that's absolutely critical. And as General Nally has stated very well, you have to be secure, you have to be small, you have to be resilient. And taking his last point, also has to be green in the form of being able to last a long time during an operation. But to your point, Max, the JTRS program, when it was started back in 2004, it was a clear articulation of a requirement at that point. And I think what has happened in the midterm is the industry has responded and developed the kinds of capabilities that are now meaningful in Afghanistan and other places around the world. But the reality is that what is becoming dominant is the infusion of commercial type technology into these tactical radio platforms.
COTS.
Correct. So, to go to your point of what's in the future, just like General Nally just said, it's all about moving, becoming smaller, becoming more relevant, both in the tactical environment and in the commercial environment, but it's all about moving commercial technology, commercial mobile technology into a tactical radio device. And I think that's what you're going to see, not necessarily in the future, you're going to see that in the very midterm. All the industry needs is a clear articulation of the requirement, tell us what the standards are, tell us how to get the product certified, and then we'll bring it to the warfighter for his evaluation and to see if it makes sense for him.
All right, very good. On that note, we'll take a break here. Still to come, fitting tactical radio into the JIE puzzle. You're listening to FCA Answers on Federal News Radio.
Warfighters everywhere count on tactical radios and avionics from Harris. These same trusted technologies have been combined to offer a new family of airborne radios. Ready for immediate takeoff, they provide secure interoperability and superior wideband and narrowband capabilities backed by the proven Harris Falcon radio. On the ground and in the air, Harris delivers the network. Learn more at harris.com. That's harris.com.
FCA is proud to partner with DHS for National Cybersecurity Awareness Month. FCA International and its chapters have a month full of cyber-related activities. Free webinars include responding to a large-scale cybersecurity incident, practical cryptography and cloud security. Monthly chapter events around the world will include a cyber focus. Signal Magazine's October issue brings you features on intelligence and social media, cloud computing and big data. Additional cyber resources include FCA Cyber Committee's white papers on critical infrastructure, insider threat and secure mobility, cybersecurity professional development courses, and cyber scholarships. Members enjoy significant discounts and benefits with FCA's education preferred providers, including Carnegie Mellon Software Engineering Institute's Step Forward Training. Learn more about FCA's cybersecurity offerings at www.fca.org/cyber.
Welcome back to FCA Answers on Federal News Radio. Our guests today are General Kevin Nally, the Chief Information Officer with the U.S. Marine Corps, and Dennis Moran, the Vice President of Government Business Development for Harris RF Communications here in Washington, D.C. Now, General Nally, you made reference to this in our last segment, but the JIE, the Joint Information Environment, I'll make this a simple question. How do tactical radios fit into the JIE?
We're working that at the enterprise level, if you will, at this point, with where we are in the JIE. But that is one of the key concerns and pieces of the architecture that DOD is looking at, is how do you tie in the tactical piece in a tactical type of cloud. And our concerns with the Marine Corps not going to speak for the Navy, but the Marine Corps and the Navy and the JIE discussions in a tactical operational environment is, how do you tie the JIE and aboard amphibious ready group or a Marine Expeditionary Unit aboard a ship or ships floating around out in the Med or the Pacific or the Indian Ocean or wherever they're asked to go to. But the other things that we're doing inside the Marine Corps that are pretty significant game changers right now is, we've deployed what we call the NOTAM, the Networking on the Move. Mm-hmm. It's very similar to the Army's WIN-T program, but this is a pop suite in a vehicle, any kind of vehicle, Humvee, LAV, Amtrak, MRAP, et cetera. So that would be the pop suite. The vehicles out further in the forward edge of the battlefield would have the ability to have access to the NIPRNET, CIPRNET coalition networks, voice over IP, handheld device, which the commander of the vehicle would be able to walk away from the vehicle, connect back to the vehicle connects back into the pop suite connects back into the real world. We've deployed this in Afghanistan, great feedback on it. One MEF out at Camp Pendleton is now in the phase of receiving their issue of the NOTAM type vehicles, if you will. Additionally, what we're doing with the Navy, with the 26MU that's currently deployed, is we're testing a 4G LTE network with the Navy aboard the ships, and it's embedded within the helicopters, the ships, the Marines that go ashore, because the way we are getting back and shifting focus back to the Pacific, however, without losing focus on the Middle East or Africa, I'll add that as well, and as America's 911 force crisis response, what we're looking at and what we have been doing even since 9/11 is we still do tactical operations from the sea. We've done several large-scale MEB exercises. So when we go ashore, we're under the expectations that we generally deploy to remote, underdeveloped areas, austere environments where there's no IT infrastructure built up. So we have to build it up from the ground, and building it up from the ground means you're going to build it up with tactical radios.
Sure.
And these radios that we're using now in Afghanistan will enable us not only to be use them in a tactical environment, but to be able to get back into the garrison stateside network for situational awareness.
And as a matter of fact, one of the last times that I spoke to you was for an article I wrote about that network on the move concept for Signal Magazine, and it sounds to me like you've done a lot of work since the last time we spoke about that. Danny, I want to turn to ask you, and you've just heard your colleague here describe where they want to go with the network on the move sort of concept. What kinds of challenges does that present for industry in terms of being able to deliver? What kinds of things Kevin needs to make that kind of concept work?
Well, the first thing that we have, and I think General Nally did an excellent job of it, is a clear articulation of the requirement. And what's left for industry then is using the JTRS software-defined architecture to bring a multi-band radio that is able to interface with the JIE enterprise and deliver that information down in the tactical environment that General Nally described. What that really translates to is a robust but flexible platform that can be upgraded over time just simply with the infusion of software. So just like your cell phone, when a new app is available or a new capability, you don't change out the platform. You merely bring a new application in.
Right.
So that's where you're moving with these software-defined radios.
Can I add to that? Yes, please.
I mean, General Moran just hit it spot on for what we need. We don't need more boxes. We need the software that the companies develop, and we need to be able to remotely infuse it into our radio, the box, if you will. And when I say remotely, I mean, I'm adamant about that. We need to be able to do it remotely because you may not be able to physically plant yourself with that device on a battlefield. And additionally, and I'll close this comment on what General Moran said, and I completely agree with him, is that you know, in this fiscally constrained environment, dependent on the mission of the future, we may not be able to give every Marine a radio.
Right. And, Denny, in the last 30 seconds we have here, talk to me a little bit about the importance of specifications and requirements in terms of the contract side of telling industry what they want. How important is that process?
Well, the first thing we need is clearly defined operational requirements, and I think that's what General Nally, you know, stated a few minutes ago. The second thing we need is the technical the technical specifications, if you will, or just the framework. After that, give us the freedom to bring cost-effective products for evaluation to the force, whether it be the Marine Corps or to the Army, because we'll quickly figure out with that interface what is working for the Marines and what's not working for the Marines, and right. give it to industry to spend their money to develop those and bring those products that meet the needs, meet the specifications to the warfighter.
All right, sounds good. We'll pick that up when we return from our break. Still to come, would you like a smartphone with your tactical radio? You're listening to FCA Answers on Federal News Radio.
For cutting-edge solutions that meet critical communication and networking requirements, count on Harris. Harris has a long tradition of providing affordable, innovative solutions that are mission-tested, battlefield-proven, and warfighter-preferred. Wideband networking is vitally important to the success of the mission. Warfighters don't have time to wait to exchange voice and situational awareness data and video. That's why soldiers, sailors, airmen, and Marines rely on Harris. Trusted today and ready for the future. Harris delivers the network. Learn more at harris.com.
FCA is proud to partner with DHS for National Cybersecurity Awareness Month. FCA International and its chapters have a month full of cyber-related activities. Free webinars include responding to a large-scale cybersecurity incident, practical cryptography and cloud security. Monthly chapter events around the world will include a cyber focus. Signal Magazine's October issue brings you features on intelligence and social media, cloud computing and big data. Additional cyber resources include FCA Cyber Committee's white papers on critical infrastructure, insider threat and secure mobility, cybersecurity professional development courses, and cyber scholarships. Members enjoy significant discounts and benefits with FCA's education preferred providers, including Carnegie Mellon Software Engineering Institute's Step Forward Training. Learn more about FCA's cybersecurity offerings at www.fca.org/cyber.
Welcome back to FCA Answers on Federal News Radio. Our guests today are General Kevin Nally, the Chief Information Officer for the U.S. Marine Corps, and Denny Moran, Vice President of Government Business Development for Harris RF Communications in Washington, D.C. Now, Denny, when we were in the middle of our break here, you were talking a little bit about how tactical radios fit into mobility and also security. Let's go ahead and pick up on that, because that's a good place, I think, for us to go in this final segment of the show.
Well, ideally, I think if you talk to any soldier or any Marine, what they really want is a data device in their hand that provides the connectivity.
Mm-hmm.
And because of the nature of our business, that device has got to be secure, and it's got to be secure so that it protects not only the device itself and the information that resides on it, data at rest, if you will, but it's got to protect the information. It's got to provide the communication security. And these devices are going to be commercial. They're going to be similar to the ones that are delivered in the commercial market. So, mm-hmm. But it absolutely demands that NSA and also the DOD CIO and also DISA stay fully engaged with industry and with the users to define those security requirements and bring us solutions and give us the certification means so we can deliver these products to the warfighter quicker. What we're seeing is that the centerpiece is becoming the data device itself, whether it be a tablet or whether it be a small device like an Android or an iPhone. But you want the communications to be embedded and also to be almost invisible to the soldier and to the Marine so that they get the connectivity that they require almost immediately. And General Nally mentioned it in the first segment, you want it to be Marine-proof. And so I think that's where industry is going, and that's easy to develop because you have chips now that are coming from the commercial market that can deliver those waveforms. All we need is the security standards and the certification methodologies from NSA.
Kevin, does that work for you in terms of a way to approach this, and in terms of a path forward for developing these kinds of radios that meet your specifications?
Yes, it does, Max, and I completely agree with General Moran. But I would add also part of the challenge that I deal with as a CO is I do not have acquisition authority, and I with the current acquisition process, I am frustrated by waiting too long to get current emerging IT into the infrastructure.
Mm-hmm.
And at the speed of cyber, I need it now. I don't need it tomorrow. And I think with the handheld devices that we will use in the future, that we are currently testing right now with DISA are good. They continually improve. DISA has been very helpful with us. But it has to be secure in a cyber environment. And the individual, use the individual Marines, they understand these current new technology with the handheld devices. And it's not the training and education piece, mm-hmm. which is costs money, has gone drastically down because the Marines coming in now, they understand current technology and they know how to use these devices.
Right. Well, you just made the point there. We had Mr. Halverson, the Chief Information Officer for the Department of the Navy. And what you've defined to me sounds like an acquisition challenge and a contracting challenge. And Denny, you talked about that a little while ago. If you were to offer advice to Mr. Halverson and Terry Takei about reforming the acquisition process so that you could get IT faster, what would be the key to that reform?
From a Marine approach, the key would be do it. I mean, and it's competitive. I'm sorry, sir, but you have to. I understand you have to maintain a competitive atmosphere for the commercial industry. And I'll tell you, with the trusted handheld device that we're working on mm-hmm. with Marcor, Syscom, and NSA and DISA, everyone's been completely supportive, to include the major telecommunications companies. They have already helped us build this trusted handheld device. They want to be part of the business,
right.
All of them. They want to be part of this business.
Right. And I think that, and I understand Kevin's point about the about getting it now. And trust me, I mean, the competitive and the environment exists. There's significant funding, even in these downward trending times, mm-hmm. to move, you know, this kind of capability down in the soldier. And the competitive juices are moving, you know, inside of industry. And I think if you just look to Mr. Kendall's Better Buying Power 2.0, the answer lies there. Hmm. The Army's methodology of buying more often but less items is another way to attack it. I think what the key thing is to get away from the more traditional programs of record, get out of the way by putting in, you know, different kinds of contract strategies, whether they be IDIQs. Certainly you've got to have the evaluation piece, both
right.
operational and developmental. Mm-hmm. But then, as Kevin says, get the heck out of the way and let the warfighter evaluate the different products that are on the market that industry is investing in on their own money, and the best will will bubble to the top.
Wow. Well, on that note, I'm going to say, Kevin, thank you for your service. Thank you for helping us out today. Kevin Nally, the CIO for the U.S. Marine Corps, and Denny Moran, Vice President of Government Business Development for Harris RF Communications. Thank you again for helping us out this afternoon and talking about tactical radios with us. Our special thanks to the FCA Defense Committee for production help with today's show. We want to give special thanks to General John Dubia, who is retiring from FCA after 14 years as our Vice President for Defense. John, thanks, and Godspeed to you. Got a question about what we've discussed today? Got an answer? The conversation continues on our blog at federalnewsradio.com. Search FCA. That's AFCEA. That's also where you can download this program and our previous shows for listening on your schedule. This program is a production of FCA International, which is solely responsible for its content. On the web at fcia.org. I'm Max Kakis. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time for FCA Answers on Federal News Radio.